listening to the Business and Life Conversations podcast with Angela Henderson, episode 134.
Hey there, you're listening to the Business and Life Conversations podcast. My name is Angela Henderson, and on this show, we talk about improving your business, life, or both by having amazing and rich conversations with brilliant guests who will inspire you and who will give you tips and tricks to help you grow both in life and in business.
Well, hey there, amazing humans, and welcome back to another awesome episode of the Business and Life Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Ange, from Angela Henderson Consulting, where I'm an international award-winning business consultant and coach who has helped thousands of amazing women business owners get all the pieces in place to have consistent five-figure months and then on to six- and seven-figure years without burning out in the process. Let's be honest. When we first start out in our business, things are crazy, like really batshit crazy. We have so much that we're trying to do when we're starting out with getting our businesses off the ground. We are learning new things. We are often wondering where the next sale is coming from. And often we forget about things that are really important to our business, not because we do it on purpose, but simply because there's so many pieces that we're trying to put in place. And one of those things is legals. Businesses overlook the legal side of things so often. I have lost count how many times I've seen this happen with business owners. And when this happens, you maybe even are putting your business at risk, substantial risk. So in today's episode, I'm bringing on the brilliant Lucretia, who is going to chat with us today about the top three legal mistakes businesses make in the first few years of business. And we're going to dive deep about why is it important to be aware about those legislation and meeting those legal requirements. We're going to talk about, you know, the top three mistakes business owners make when it comes to legals. We're also going to talk about what important policies and procedures business owners should have in order to make sure that they are legally sound. Now, I know this might not be a topic that is like super juicy, right? But it is super, super important. But before we hop straight into this amazing episode, I'd like to remind you that this episode is sponsored by my mastermind, the Action Takers Mastermind for Women in Business. Applications are still open, but not for long for this particular round. And I'll be working with over 20 amazing women business owners in my 12-month online and in-person experience designed to get your business to the next level, whatever that looks like for you. The Action Takers Mastermind helps business owners like you to get clarity on where to put your energy and what to focus on, genuine information about what's possible, what works, what doesn't. We have the opportunity to get help with different feedback on your ideas, perspective on your skills and talents, introductions to new clients, and the legs up to new opportunities. Not to mention the access to an amazing community of people who understand and care about what you do. During the 12 months, you're going to get strategy sessions with me, emergency calls with me, hot seat calls with your peers, implementation sessions, monthly mindset coaching. You get 12-month access to our VIP community. You get access to two live events, etc. Sound like my 12-month mastermind might be what you need to get your business to the next level for 2021? Make sure you head to angelahenderson.com.au and click on mastermind, as over 50% of spots are already gone. Now let's get into this amazing episode. Welcome to the show, Lucretia.
Hi, thank you for having me, and I'm so excited to be here.
I'm super excited to have you on the show. You know, we've only just met recently when you were a speaker for my Women in Business Success Summit, and I loved your vibe, I loved your professionalism, and you're just filled with an enormous amount of wealth from various different parts of business. And so I wanted to bring you on the podcast to talk specifically about legals, because it's something I feel business owners are missing, not because they necessarily want to miss out on making sure their business is equipped with legals. They might be putting it into the too hard basket and ending up in hot water. So I wanted to bring you on today to talk about legals. But before we talk about legals, I always like to ask the guests that come on my podcast a fun question so that they get to know you a little bit more for who you are versus just all business, business, business. So again, I was just asking before we started about your name, because my fun question that I want to ask is, I absolutely love your name. I love a good, like, unique name. You know, my dog is Grateful, and people are like, Grateful, you know, like, look at me, like, what the heck? And I'm like, yeah, it's fun. It's something different. It lights me up. And that's what I feel about your name. So I'd love for you to tell us a little bit more about your name, because it rocks. What does it mean? What country does it originate from?
It originates from Italy, because I'm actually Italian. Mm-hmm. I'm now both Italian and Australian, but yeah, I was born and bred in Italy, and then I moved here afterwards. But only recently, actually, I moved here. So it's an Italian name. It's from Latin. Mm-hmm. It's not even common in Italy, actually.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So I think it was common in ancient Rome.
Okay.
More. Yeah. But. I don't even know what it means. I don't think it has a meaning. But speaking of names and your dog, I have a dog. He's a big, stuffy, American stuffy. So the big one. And his name is Tiny.
Oh, my goodness. So sweet. And if you
I didn't pick the name. We adopted him and he came with that name. We didn't want to confuse him. So we kept it. But it's a struggle every time that people see him and say, oh, Tiny, not so tiny.
And tell me, I mean, listen, being in Italy, I've been to Italy before, mm-hmm. to Rome and to Naples and to Capri and all these, and it's a wonderful country. So what is your all-time favorite Italian food then?
Oh, I would say pizza, but you're that right. would
Just
sound so good.
Yep.
I think, pizza is one of my favorite, but probably of most Italians. But I would say tagliatelle ragù, which is basically, you know, like here you have spaghetti bolognese. The real original recipe is actually tagliatelle ragù. We don't need the bolognese with spaghetti.
Okay, gotcha. Interesting little facts. See, look at all these little things. I know, and I don't know if it's true or not, but there was someone when I was in Italy said that with the northern part and the southern part of Italy is that the northern part typically has like the tomato-based, do you know what I mean, or the tomato-based, and then the southern part would use the cream bases just because of economy and things like that. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
Yep, see? Yeah. Again, I know a few facts, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Not lots, but a few. But no, well, thank you so much because like I said, I love your name. I love your energy. Yeah. I love your vibe. And so today we're going to talk about legals. But again, even one more step before legals, you wear a few different hats. You're a mom, you're a lawyer, you're a blogger. Tell us a little bit about your business journey. Where did it start and where are you today?
Oh, all right. I tend to talk too much, so I love to think of only a few things that I need to talk about this because I could rely on the story of my life. But yeah, so at the moment I'm the owner, the co-owner actually with my sister of Blogging for New Bloggers and TannyLoveBug.com.
Uh-huh.
And I've lived in and worked in several countries around the world, and I'm currently based in Melbourne. As you said, my background is in legal. I'm an international lawyer and university lecturer. So having worked as an international lawyer and a university lecturer for over 15 years, it came, you know, natural to me to use the combination of my legal and teaching experience to show online entrepreneurs how to operate their business legally and protect their business from, you know, fines, a lawsuit, that basically comply with the law. But originally, you know, I just started a lifestyle blog because, as you said, I'm a mom, but it wasn't always that way. Mm-hmm. Actually, it took us 5 years to conceive our baby. We had fertility problems. So I needed something to keep my mind off. And so that's why I started my blog. But then from there, because my blog was kind of successful from the inception, and then everyone was asking me how to do it, and especially because of my legal background was, you know, was legally compliant with laws and regulation, and I found out that most bloggers and other online entrepreneurs were struggling with that. It was probably the thing that they were struggling the most, and so I started helping them with that. And so my mission now is to provide, you know, to make the legal side of your business easier for fellow entrepreneurs, but also, you know, to provide training and education in these fields. I offer legal templates because, you know, people are busy. They want to, you know, focus on growing their business and doing the things that they like. So I offer templates for those that don't want to you know, spend too much time in understanding the legal requirements. Mm-hmm. And so it's done for you and ready to go. But at the same time, I wanted to empower them. I want, you know, to empower business owners to run their business, you know, profitably, obviously, but also at the same time to meet all of the legal requirements. So I also offer, classes and, you know, different training so that you can learn more about, you know, the legal requirements that you need to comply with and to protect your business legally.
Dude, fantastic. But what I also love about that, though, is that you've got two different income streams, right? So if shit or economy starts to go down in one, you potentially have another income stream that you can fall back on the other, you know, right? And so it's something that I see often in businesses is that they've got everything, all their eggs in one basket. Yeah. But when you start looking at the longevity of your business and risk associated with that, is that typically my suggestion when I work with women in business is you want to start looking at least two or three other ways that you could potentially either add a new course, you know, add a retreat, maybe add a workshop every quarter, do different things. Because again, you never know, especially the year that we've had, you know, with COVID starting last year now into here, like, you need to be prepared that things can change at the drop of the hat. So I love that you've got different income streams that are coming in there.
I do. And that's so true. I wanted that. I wanted to diversify because you don't want to put, as you said, all your eggs in just one basket. But at the same time, I know this sounds so weird. Or maybe not. I don't know. But I'm also passive income. I'm very lazy. So I could have more, like several other different income stream. It's just that I prefer to have something that you set one time and then it repeats itself on autopilot more than having, you know, like one-on-one session. So many people ask me to do coaching. Mm-hmm. Them, but I limit the numbers of people that I take on because I don't have much time. You know, I'm doing all of this to be free to work where I want, you know, from where I want, on what I want. And so, you know, to be able to spend more time with my family, like my daughter, my husband, and, you know, extended family and friends. So yeah, but definitely everyone should do what they like best. But at the same time to have different income streams so that if something goes wrong on a side, you're always, you know, covered on the other and so on. So I would be looking on what you suggested. That sounds great. Like the retreat, for example, and things like that. I know that you have masterminds going on. And
yeah. And again, I also like that you touched upon do what's right for you. Right. I'm kind of the opposite. I love doing the one-to-one or the masterminds. Right. But it fits with my personality. It fits with my lifestyle. It fits with my ADHD brain. Do you know what I mean? Like my ADHD brain, if everything was set on autopilot, I'd just be like bouncing off the roof or I'd have a third ass because all I would do is eat all day. Right. So for me, it's like, it works, but so often, and what I also like here is that you've also identified and you've created a really great boundary is you know what you want and that it can be easy and elegant. I think often businesses are trying to make things so damn complex and so overworked and or wanting more, more, more and more that then they forget about the lifestyle that they wanted to build in the first place. So, you know, that I acknowledge that you've gone, this is what I want. This is the type of business model I want. It works for my family, but you've also gone, I could do more, but I don't need to or want to do it, right? So again, I love it because I think a lot of women put pressure that we got to keep doing more. We got to keep hustling. I freaking hate the word hustle, right? Like just be in the moment. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. You know, appreciate what you already have.
Yeah. I never use the word hustle. For me, if it's an hustle, then it's not worth, you know, it's not worth doing it. But yeah, totally agree with what you said. And so when I, in my blogging classes, I say to people, if you like doing the, because I know that people like you or like extrovert, or they take the energy from other people. So the contact that you have, like the, when you do live events or even online, but live Facebook lives, for example, it gives you that energy to be able to communicate and to talk to people in person. While for me, I'm an introvert. I prefer, you know, to do everything from my own desk without having to see anyone. But, you know, so to each their own, as long as you find the strategy that works with you and you don't try to do everything at once, I think that, you know, like if you focus on what works for you and it can be, you know, a couple of different strategies that apply to your blog, focus on that and you blog, business, whatever you don't know. I was doing the example of blogs because I started as a blogger, but, you know, so.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So again, clearly we could talk for a long time, you know, do you know what I mean? Which is a good thing, right? Because, and I'm like you, if I don't have my questions in front of me, I just start talking about all things, and we'll be talking about Nutella, which is made in Italy. And I love that also, but I'll focus. So today though, We're going to talk about the top three legal mistakes that businesses make in their very first few years of being in business, because as I said earlier, I feel businesses don't know what they don't know. And this podcast I originally had in mind when I developed it was, obviously it's called the Business and Life Conversations Podcast, because I wanted the platform and the podcast to be able to have these open conversations so that businesses can't use the excuse of they don't know. And I'm like, nope, actually, if you listen to my podcast, you will know that these are the three legal mistakes businesses are making in the first few years. So today I really want to hone in on that because, again, they don't know what they don't know, but these mistakes that you're going to talk about today could really be exceptionally costly for their business. So I'd like to start with, why is it important, you know, to be aware of the applicable legislation and, you know, having these businesses meet the legal requirements? Let's just start with those kind of basic fundamentals.
Yeah, which is a great question, because usually people, you know, like the legal side of business, it's often overlooked, but it's really important. And the three core reasons why you need to stay on top of the legal stuff for me are, you know, like, you want, first of all, you want your business to be seen as serious, professional, and credible.
Yeah.
Then you obviously want to avoid being sued. And third, you want to avoid having to sue others. Because I know, like, no matter where you are, like, if you on the right side of a lawsuit or on the wrong side, they always, as you said, costly, time consuming. And also they also distract you from your primary goals. You know, they're a waste of time, basically. And as an entrepreneur, time is our best asset. So you should rather spend time creating content, if you're a blogger, or working with your clients, basically growing your business instead of having to go to court for a lawsuit. So the first, like, the top reasons for me to have all your legal stuff in place so that you meet all legal requirements is that you are a professional, you're credible. Because when you run every aspect of your business lawfully, people will tend to trust you more and want to do business with you. So you will look, obviously, more credible. And this will be easier for you to build trust with your audience and, you know, convert them into clients or customers. And then, you know, like, there are some legal requirements, such as, for example, the GDPR, that are becoming, you know, the general standards everywhere. So I don't know if, do you think I should... So the GDPR is basically is a European Union regulation, but now because it has an international so it's applicable internationally depending on where your audience is based. So even if you're not located in the European Union, you're still required to comply with it. And so if everyone else is complying with this legal requirement and you're not, then people will notice it and you will look, you know, either unprofessional or even dodgy. Like, people will think, why this person is not respecting my rights? Why they're not, you know? And then the second main reason is that you don't want to be sued or fined. So legal requirements are the law. And so it's not only, you know, ethical to comply. Mm-hmm. It's not only the right thing to do, but also if you're not in compliance, you are breaking the law, basically, which means you can expose yourself and your business to the risk of fines, lawsuits, as we said, formal complaints to supervising authorities, or things like that. So, and at the same time, you don't want to sue others. So it's much better to learn and safeguard your business right now from potential legal problem and set, you know, your legal protection the right way from the start than having to solve legal disputes once they happen, you know, down the track.
Right. And like, ooh, you know, and so if we look at, like, again, when you know, the importance of being aware of these legislations and legal requirements, like you said, it's going to, you know, you're going to be professional or credible, you're going to avoid being sued. But are there certain key legislations that business owners, you know, there's obviously hundreds, let's be honest, but, and we can't know all of them, even if we are, like, I find that I think I'm pretty tight on my contracts and things like that. But are there key legislations for those business owners that are out there that are like, all right, ladies, just tell me a few. Let me just get a few runs on the board. What are the key ones that you would want them to look at?
The thing is, it depends on where you're based. So, for example, for us that are based in Australia, first thing you will have to look at Australian legislations. And usually it's like in terms The first one that I would look into is privacy policies and regulations. That's really important because it applies to any kind of interaction that you can have with either, you know, clients, users, even visitors on your website. So it's like, it encompasses everything that has to do with your business. Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, like the GDPR that we were mentioning earlier is something that has to do with the privacy rights of your users or customers. And the funny thing now is that especially if you're working online, which means, you know, like if you have a presence online, like a website or social media or anything like that, so you're not only looking at the legislation in your own country that could apply to you, but you also need to look at other things that are at other regulations or piece of legislation that are issued in another country, but they actually end up applying to you as well, because so I'd say it's a combination of both the laws of your own countries, so the laws where you base your business is based, and the country and the legislation or where your audience is based. So even if you're not required to comply with the laws of every country in the world just because you're operating online, still a fair bit of different legislation may come into play. So the GDPR for sure, the CCPA is another big legislation, is from the US. Or like, for example, if you do partnership with brands and companies, even for us that are based in Australia, I have like lots of things that I do with some big brands from the US. Mm-hmm. And so they have all these things about the Fair Trade Commission, and you will have to disclose and like, for example, if you do sponsored posts for you, because you have a big, you know, following on social media and like with Instagram and things, do you ever get approached by brands and you?
So I used to be one of Australia's leading influencers in the parenting market. I used to work with Netflix as one of their top 30 influencers, and Spotlight and Woolies and Coles and that. And we were, you know, again, I was fortunate enough to be educated about, but every post we had to disclose if we were getting paid or free product, right? In order so that the audience knows that there may be some biased with the post, right? That it's not like a full review with no strings attached, right? So I always had to put in, you know, we always had to put it towards the top of the post. I mean, this post is sponsored by such and such in conjunction with Finley and me. So that the readers didn't read the whole thing or read half of it and then didn't have anything, like get to the bottom, and they may not have got to the bottom. So yes, there were certain requirements at that stage that we were told that we needed to do to ensure that our blog posts were product and or, do you know what I mean, services were exchanged or paid for, needed to be disclosed.
Perfect.
Have you seen over the years, I mean, obviously we've talked about the importance and being aware of, you know, why it's important to meet these legislations. You've talked a little bit about the key legislations, and really what you're saying is because of the listeners could be in so many different countries, which is true. We've got listeners from all over the world. Again, get really familiar with what primary legislations are applicable in your country. So you said, again, in Australia, our privacy one is big. The GDPR, do you mean, is big collectively around the world that we need to know about. But yeah, really hone in on what's, do you mean, there from a geographic perspective for your countries. But overall, have you seen in your years of doing this, any, do you know what I mean, legal mistakes that business owners are making?
Yeah, I have. Okay. One that we said is that they, you know, the fact that even if they're based in a country, there are other regulations that might apply to them, and then discount, you know, they usually discount the fact, the GDPR is something in Europe, it doesn't apply to me, and that's a mistake because it does apply. But I wouldn't say that this is the top mistake, because not many people do, but I think that probably the big one that could cause many problems is the fact that when people start out, they don't have the right policies for their business in place. Because they think, oh no, this is too complicated. I can't do it with this. Or like there's always something else that he has priority or that they're more excited about. And so they leave that always in the back burner. But so that's a really, really huge mistake. The second top mistake is similar because it might have the similar consequences, which is that in the first year of business, people fail to have clear, lawful contracts when dealing, for example, with their clients or partners or suppliers, customers, collaborators, whatever it is. So, because you should always have a contract in writing for this kind of things. You know, when you have a written legal agreement in place, then the chances of lawsuits happening are very minimal. Even if then something happens, like even in the event of a legal dispute, your business interests will be protected under the legal agreement that you had first, you know, that you had set up at the beginning. And it's not, why would I need a legal agreement? There are so many scenarios where you should use legal documents. For example, you know, when you are an independent contractor or people even say, what's an independent contractor? Okay. So an independent contractor, let's say you want to are a graphic designer or your virtual assistant. Mm-hmm. Well, let's say, for example, in your case, and you're a coach, right? So let's say you secure a client and then they pay their fees and then the work begins, but they don't put in the required work. And then they demand you to give them their money back. Mm-hmm. You know, without a coaching agreement, you may find yourself in this situation or even something worse. But by having a legal agreement in place that lays out the details of the service going to render. So, you know, things like the scope of your business relationship, a cancellation policy, compensation, expenses, payment, or in example that we were giving, the terms of your coaching relationship with your clients. So what you expect them to do, for it to work, liabilities, warranties, indemnification, you know, like I could go on what is included in a legal agreement, but this legal agreement will make sure you won't have your fees, that you don't have to refund the fees, and will protect, you know, your time, your investment, your name and the reputation of your business. So, these are really like, they're related with like written policies and, written legal agreement. Then probably another mistakes that some entrepreneurs make when they first start, with their business is that they don't protect their content or their work or their brand, like it's on their logo or, you know, the name of their business. So they don't register trademark or their business name, or they don't have copyright notice in places, things like that. So probably these are the big three issues that I've seen over the years.
Yeah. And again, it's, you don't know what you don't know. I know when I started, you know, in business, like, there are certain things that I was like, I better tighten that. You know, I've got contracts that are for my one-on-one clients. I've got a different contract for my mastermind. I've got a different contract for my 12-month profit pillars. I've got speaking contracts for when my speakers, do you know what I mean, are at. I run Australia's leading 4-day, 3-night women in business retreat. Like, there's always, do you know what I mean, a contract that has to be done, right? And again, it's just, as anyone who's been around me for a long time knows, setting up the foundational elements is what allows you to then grow and scale. And part of those foundational elements is about making sure you've got the legal, you know, these policies and what are the legislations, but also things like, do you have your insurance in place, like professional indemnity insurance, right? Like, you know, because, you know, if you get sued and you don't have insurance, do you know what I mean? Well, that's even another problem, right? Because it's like, well, you might not be in the wrong, but now you've got no one to, like, nothing to back you here. You're going to be out of pocket or, you know, et cetera. Yeah. So, you know, there are these things. But often I think, though, that, you know, for businesses in particular that are just getting started and they have limited cash, though, because I hear this all the time, I've got no cash in, you know, I'm just starting out, I'm bootstrapping, or I haven't made my first sale. When I hear that, though, Lucretia, what I think there is like, listen, you're going to have much bigger problems here, buddy. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? The second thing I think is hold on a minute. Well, can you afford to go out? I'll say, how many coffees do you have a week? 10. Mm-hmm. Right, so technically, you could afford $40 a week if they're $4 a pop in coffee. So you could afford technically $160 a month in coffee, but you're not prepared to put that money towards the legal part. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, I guess if you put it that way. Or they'll say things like, you know, I can't afford it. I'm like, oh, I mean, if your child got sick tomorrow, are you going to say like, oh, I can't afford to go get their ear looked at? And they're like, oh no, I'd always fund the money. I'm like, to me, I'm like, why is it any different? Right. Like, and so there's one thing I think for businesses who genuinely don't know that they needed it, right? Like, they'll be like, oh my God, thank you so much for telling me I didn't know I needed it. But then there's businesses who are like, they know they need it, but they keep using the excuse there's no money. All right. So my thing, my question to you is what are your thoughts around when you hear these things like, I've got no cash? What's your response to that?
I totally agree with you. Like, it's, I think that the legal side of your business is really something that you don't want to skip on, because it's probably the last one that you want to skip on, because if you don't invest that, you don't have that little small investment now, then you may end up paying much, much more down the track, you know, should something go wrong. Mm-hmm. So the best thing to do is to tackle it as soon as possible. So for your peace of mind, to protect your business legally from inception, so that if something happens, you're covered. Because, you know, when you first start, it's only a little that you need to invest to cover, you know, your legal side. But then if lawsuits start, then that's where things can add up and be very expensive. So, and I know the legal side of your business might sound, it depends on people, but the words that I usually hear the most are scary, or overwhelming, or boring, because I know, like, who likes legalese, or, you know, legal language? Even myself, I hate it. But I understand that it might not be as fun or as glamorous as other parts of your business, but unfortunately we can't ignore it. And so the best thing to tackle it would probably be to hire a lawyer in your jurisdiction. And so that you can consult with the lawyer, they will see the specific needs of your business and you will go from there. But I understand that when you're just starting out, this is, you know, you might not have the financial resources to retain.
Can I also say that, lawyer? You know, I travel the world quite often, whenever we can open back up again, I'll be on a plane faster than ever. But, mm-hmm. but you know, it's the same thing that I hear when, like, okay, so you can afford to drop $20,000 on a lifetime holiday, but you're not going to buy insurance. Because if you end up, like, I broke my neck when I was in America, mm-hmm. yeah. and I'll tell you what, I had my travel insurance. If I wouldn't have had my travel insurance, I still to this day would have been paying off the medical bills, because yeah. America is one of the most expensive countries when it comes to that, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you can afford to travel, but you can't mm-hmm. afford to ensure that you've got, that you're safe, do you know what I mean, in these countries mm-hmm. you're going to. It, like, I just shake my head, right? Now, mm-hmm. I also, and so my thing there is like, if you can't afford these legals, can you really afford to be in business, people? Like, really, because it's not like we're talking, it depends on the complexity of a business. I get that. But we're not talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars, not even, do you mean maybe $5,000 or $4,000 in some cases, right? Like, I too bought a template when the GDPR came out from a lawyer here in Brisbane, right? Mm-hmm. I think it was like $150. It wasn't that much, right? Mm-hmm. But it was a template. I was able to put my details in. I sent it to my web developer and I was like, okay, great, that's done. Mm-hmm. I've done the right thing. And so again, I was like, and you know, for those starting, you're like, oh, Ange, that's fine. Look where you are now. But I started where you are, for some of you are right now, right? Yeah. Sometimes you might have to put something like this on a credit card, you know? I also want to talk about then that too, there's an essence of vibration and sending out also, again, people know I'm not very woo, but I do believe this. When you say to yourself that I am going to pay for this and it is important, I also believe that that's a message that you know you're going to succeed. All right. You're down. You're already backing yourself by getting these things in place. One of my action takers, mastermind women that I'm in, she's just starting off in her business. And she messaged me the other day and she said, oh, Ange, the insurance is going to cost me $1,200 a year. And she goes, and I don't know if I'm going to make it back. I said, is that what you really think? You don't know if you're going to make it back to $1,200. It's like, really? And I was like, we've got much bigger problems then, right? I was like, because technically you've got to make like 50 cents a day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but by her signing that contract, she then was committing to her success. And that's how I personally feel about these legal things, is when you commit to these legal things, you're saying to the world, I'm here to play big. I'm taking my business seriously. Mm-hmm. It's not a hobby anymore, right? Like, so yes, I could go on this little rant for a long time because I'm super passionate about it.
It's so, good what you said. And it's all about mindset. I agree. Like, I think that I made money the first month I started my business because I invested money to make money. You need to invest money. And also, what people sometimes fail to realize is because some people make the objection, but I can find free templates online, or I can research it myself. Yes, maybe you can, but what will happen is that you will spend days and days trying to, you know, to go through all this piece of legislation. If you think like the GDPR is like 173 articles of obscure legalese, and then, you know, you have to understand what's that, and then you're losing money because, you know, you buy the template is, you know, like my legal bundle is $157. You buy that. Okay. It's $157. So you need to pay for that, but you're free, like you just put the details of your business and it's done. You don't have to worry about it anymore. And you have like all those days that you would have spent researching free to, you know, to work on your sales page and start selling, or, you know, like to contact the suppliers and get started on your, you know, physical product. So people sometimes they forget that time is money. So
you're either paying in time or you're paying in money. Those are really the only two currencies.
Yeah.
And like you said, by the time you go to Google, go to this website, try to stitch this together, put it up online, and then not to mention that your brain is still holding space going. Unconsciously, your brain knows that your legals are still shit.
Yeah, because you don't even know if you did it right.
Exactly. So then it's like you still always, there's a piece of you that are worrying, right? So I'm just like, just do it right the first time and we are good to go, right? Yeah. So now, obviously, we've talked a little bit about today in relation to, I mean, different key legislations in different countries, why you think it's important that people are doing this, the legal mistakes that people are, you know, are seeing. You know, we've talked a little bit about just how important it is just to, I mean, set them up correctly. But for those business owners who want to connect and like, actually, ladies, you've got me convinced. I need to work on my foundations. I need to get my legals up and going. Where can they find you?
Oh, okay. So they can check out my website, bloggingfornewblogs.com.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, in addition to my regular website, I also have a website for my school where I offer free classes, including free legal training and several, you know, different classes on different legal topics and compliance. And I also, as I mentioned before, offer plug and play templates for legal pages or legal agreements and things like that. And then, so, you know, you can enroll in my free classes to start with and have an idea what's, you know, I also offer some free templates that you can have in there. And then you're welcome to join my private Facebook group. It's called Blogging for New Bloggers, but, you know, it's actually, you know, in addition to bloggers, we have lots of other type of online entrepreneurs in there, like, we have course creators, coaches, podcasters, you know, many different people from many different kind of, you know, we have the people that are just beginners, or we have established bloggers up, or other entrepreneurs up to, seven figures. So, but it's so like,
can you just reshare the name of the two websites again, just cause I want to make sure that the listeners have those two websites where they can find you.
Okay. So it's bloggingfornewbloggers.com. Uh-huh. It says bloggers because, you know, like it's how I started, but it's for any kind of related type of entrepreneurship.
Uh-huh.
And the Facebook group with 30,000 plus members is also called Blogging for New Bloggers.
Right,
and then I have another website that's called Tanya Logbug. This is a strange thing. It's quite ugly. And I kept it that way because this is the first website that I ever had. And I wanted to show people that you can be successful if you focus on the right thing. So it doesn't need to be fancy. It doesn't need to be, you know, like you just need to provide quality or value or whatever it is, depending, you know, what you do. And you can start straight away. And then you improve things. So if you compare my Blogging for New Blogs website with tinylovebug.com, you see the difference, but you will grow over the years. You don't start, you know, like already being fancy. So it's better to start straight away with the help of coaches, for example, or investing in the right things. And then you'll go from there
Fantastic. And for those listeners out there, I also like to ask one final question when we wrap up, and is what do you know now that you wish you knew when you first started out in business?
that having a business is not as easy as I thought that it would be. It's like my brain goes like 24/7 thinking always how to improve things. And, you know, I thought that it was something that, you know, you just do this and then you forget. It's something that you set and forget. It's not. It's a constant evolution. And that's why, you know, I went to keep the two websites so different and so that you could see the, you know, my journey. But, at the same time, so going back, I would say to myself, hey, you getting yourself into something bigger than you think. It would be overwhelming. You will want to throw, you know, the towel like so many times because you say, I can't do this. I can't do this. But if you persist and you don't give up, you will be successful. Mm-hmm. But no. Yeah, like, yeah, they need to tell you that it's so much involved.
And before we sign off, thanks so much for being here today. I really appreciate it. And remember, my team and I will also be putting together the show notes for this episode at angelahenderson.com.au. Thanks so much again for being on the show today, Lucretia. I appreciate
it.
And remember, for the rest of you, have a fabulous day. And don't forget that my applications for my 12-month Action Takers Mastermind are still open. And you can apply by heading to angelahenderson.com.au and click on Mastermind. And for the rest of you, I look forward to you joining me again next week for another awesome episode of the Business and Life Conversations podcast. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Business and Life Conversations podcast with Angela Henderson. www.angelahenderson.com.au